This is Today in Money. I'm Jim Goddard. My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. Welcome back to Today in Money.
Jim, thanks for having me as always.
Some people are very concerned when we have a stock market that's still going up, when you have overvalued stocks. And of course, we have September right around the corner, which traditionally is the time when we have market corrections. Should people be concerned?
Well, I understand the September, October concern, but I don't look at just that. I do have some cycles that are coming in later this year, into the fall. So coincidence or not, I see where, we're setting up for something like that, some sort of a potential correction into the fall. The degree of that correction, who knows, but the opportunity will be there with these cycles, I believe. I know. The degree of it, who knows. And the reason I say that, or one of the reasons I say that, is that this is reminiscent, and I know that people may not remember this. I don't know if you and I talked about it at the time. We've talked about this sort of thing, I think, recently, at least in semi-recent interviews. But back in 2018 and 19, this reminds me of 2018 and 19 in many ways. And one, we were setting up. It was driving me crazy because I was seeing the setup for a top, a four-year cycle top, and a decline. It was at that time, it was the second attempted downturn out of this long-term economic cycle. And I remember the news, just like today. I remember the news about it went on, it started in 18 and went through 19. And it was about all the jobs that's been created and all the tariffs, and we got a deal, and we don't have a deal. And this was with China, if you think back. And it was so ridiculous. They said that, one of the news stories was that somebody stepped out of the meetings and reported that, oh, they got a deal. And it was comical, but it worked. And, they were able to keep the wrapper on the market with, bullshit and duct tape. And that's the same thing we're seeing here. It's the same thing, the on again, off again news with the war. You look at the underlying, economic conditions, which I'm going into a deep dive on that in this next research letter. You look at what's really going on beneath the surface. I'm looking at many of the same things that I looked at back in 18 and 19. And the economy is certainly not what we're being told. And again, it's being, obviously, I think the blind, the deaf, dumb, blind, and dead can see it at this point, that, the on again, off again, the market will crack just a few days down, and then we got a deal. And then it'll rally a little bit, and they'll come out with some bad news, and then we got a deal. It's the same thing that went on just, back then. But the moral of the story is that, as we've talked, we have this advance into this long-term economic cycle that's been based on a whole lot of air. And, we're facing, a downturn out of that. And that's what they're trying to hold. And like I've said before, if we were in their shoes, we'd probably do the same thing. But it's frustrating from an analyst's point of view, seeing what you see and then seeing it continue to just grind, but then also knowing that it's on such thin ice. So, my story hasn't changed. It's just a circus. And, yes, I do think the long, short answer to the question now is that the cycles are setting up for some weakness as we go into the fall period. Whether they can then save that or how well they can manage it. Who knows? But yes, it does look like, that's a risk we face as we move into the fall, certainly.
Canada, U.S. have a tentative trade agreement, but again, on off, we don't know exactly what the effects are or details. And because we don't know, is that another reason for the markets to be down as we speak today?
You know, I don't know what they say is driving the market today. You know, who knows? I don't believe it anyway. But I had no idea there was any kind of trade news going on with Canada. But again, that's reminiscent of the same thing. We have a deal. We have a deal. We have a deal. Oh, we don't have a deal. We have a deal. You know, at some point, when are people going to see through this? But like I said, you look at the real economy, and it's just not there. So we are extremely overvalued. There's evidence of you know, the housing market trying to peak in the U.S. from some of the data that I see and some other things. And it's just like I said, it's when you look under the hood, it's just not the robust economy that we're being told.
Well, according to this headline from Quartz, Dow futures drop 357 points as Treasury yields reverse course.
I know. I saw that. I saw that. Why all of a sudden do Treasury yields matter? I mean, they were. I was looking at a chart earlier. I do have the chart in front of me. You know, Treasury yields were actually lower a couple of days ago, two or three days ago, according to the chart. Or higher, excuse me, I'm looking at bonds, so I'm looking at the inverse. They were actually higher a few days ago. Well, it didn't matter then. Yeah, it's just the news. That's a perfect example. The news is just nonsense. It's just nonsense.
Well, perhaps the Dow is down because the U.S. debt hit a milestone at $40 trillion, a number that means every American owes about over $100,000 each to pay off the government debt.
Yeah, and that goes back to something else I've said before. The acceleration has continued. It's going to continue. There's no president ever going to walk in and decrease the debt because, like I have said before, the old saying from Richard Russell. He was, in case people aren't familiar with him, he was a very prominent Dow theorist, and he wrote a newsletter, I think, from like in the 50s up until, you know, I guess probably 10 or 12 years ago. But anyway, Richard Russell, he had a saying that I have to give him credit for. He said, inflate or die. And what he meant by that was the system, you know, the fiat debt-based system. It feeds on inflation, and it feeds on a continuation of debt, and there's no way in hell that they can curb that growth of debt. And what we're seeing is an exponential growth of that debt, because like a drug addict, it takes more and more and more of the drug to satisfy the fix. And that's exactly what we're seeing with this continued expansion of debt. And it's you know, the same thing with I think maybe we talked about this, you know, this AI data center build out. That's an attempt to reinflate. It's all about keeping this thing alive, and that's what we're seeing. That's why this setup has drug on as long as it has. It's also, I think, an indication. These extreme measures, I think, is also an indication of the fact that they probably know what's at risk if this thing turns. Or when this thing turns, and it, like I said, if we were in the same shoes, we'd probably be doing the same thing, trying to keep it together as long as humanly possible.
But I thought those thousands of instant job cuts by Doge and Elon Musk were supposed to solve this growing U.S. debt.
It's again the news that it means nothing. It means they can't. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They cannot curb the debt. It's inflate or die. It's that simple. You know, you can look back at something else that I've covered in detail in some of the letters in the past. I look at this stuff, and you can see that throughout history, anytime the market gets into any kind of meaningful trouble, you know, I don't mean just a little correction like, you know, say like we had into April or something like that. I mean, anytime it gets into you know, at a risky spot where there's any kind of meaningful correction, I don't know how else to say it, you see the step on the gas pedal with the debt machine, and you see the government spending increase. And you can see it. It's on a chart. You can see it. And so it's the same game. It's all an attempt, again, inflate or the system dies. That's where we are.
What is somebody ever going to call this debt, or is it one of those things that you just don't dare do?
Well, I'm not sure. Explain exactly what you mean.
Well, if you owed the bank $40 trillion, at some point they're going to say to you, I think this debt's gone up high enough. We'd want some of our money back. Is that how? I mean, after the Second World War, all the government debt, some of it was just instantly disappeared somehow. Where, okay, everybody, we can start from zero again. Or did that happen?
You know, I don't know how this is gonna play out. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question, and I've asked myself the same thing. I don't know. I mean, you know, when we were at 10 trillion, we thought that was astronomical. And we were at 20, and then 30, and now 40. I mean, does it go on to 60, 100, or does this end with some sort of, you know, sovereign debt crisis? I mean, I don't know. But I can say this. This downturn, let's go back a little bit. I've explained in some of our interviews, and I don't mean to be redundant, but there's different people listening and to connect the dots here. So you go back to the previous long-term economic cycles in this country, from the founding of the country. You know, there was a long-term economic cycle, took us up into the 1840s, and that was with the settling of the land and the expansion of the West, and, you know, there was an economic underpinning behind that. And then we had a downturn out of that cycle of land prices, you know, from the speculation. There was a bust, and the economy turned down into that, onto a cycle low. And then from there, we turned back up. This time it was fueled by much of the same, but this time it was everybody's probably heard of the railroad bubble. That was the technology of the day and the build out of, you know, further build out of the country and the railroad bubble. Well, finally that popped. And then we turned down again, and I'm saying this from memory, I believe that was in the 1890s, and then up we go again. This time it was the Industrial Revolution. Henry Ford's making cars. We're churning things out. We have assembly lines. We have an industrial base. That's a real economy. Once again, a real economy. And then that peaked, and boom, we turned down into out of that long-term economic cycle into the Great Depression. And then we get into the war. And to Gerald Celente's point, when all else fails, take us to war. So we get into the war. Well, the war underpinning, and then the post-World War II economic boom, that was real, you know? And so we had there's still government spending going on, but it's subdued. It's in the background. We're not totally dependent on it. So I'm saying we have an economy. And that pushed us up into the 1966 bull market top. And then we turned down into the 74 bear market bottom. You see the government spending increase there, but what you also see, I mean, that was a downturn out of one of the long-term economic cycles, but then, you know, the government spending, they kind of goosed it a little bit. You can see it. That's when this really become more prominent with that intervention. And then we get into, you know, we kind of rock along and you know, hold above that low. The one thing that happened there to help increase the inflation, the inflate or die scenario, was the energy crisis came out right as we were into that, moving into that final move into that 4-year cycle low. So that helped get some inflation into the system. And then we rock along and we have the technology coming out into the 80s and into the 90s. We have the technology era. That was real. It was real. Cellular and all the technology and the internet. And that was a real, real economic boom. And so that pushed us into the 2000 top. Well, as I look at this economy and you look at certain markers and some things as simple as, like, you know, velocity of money, job participation, and even just the characteristics of the market, and what you see you see the dependency now on the stimulus. I mean, it all points to that was the organic top, in my opinion, the 2000 top. And since then, just think about it. Since 2002, this market has been totally dependent on where is the economic boom? Where? And people want to point to AI. That is a whole nother story. That is a government push to build out a control grid. It's there's something going on there, but it's not the cellular era. It's not the dot-com era. It's not a post-World War II economic boom. It's none of that. This entire long-term economic cycle out of the 02 low has been dependent on government spending, stimulus. Oh, we got a deal. We don't have a deal. What the Fed's doing. It's a faux market, if you will. Granted, the market has gone parabolic, but there is no sound economic underpinning like it was in the past. And so that's the nature of this bubble. That's what they're trying to keep alive and going. And that's where we are. That's the risk here. And so when we turn down, what I was going to say to add to that, the first attempted downturn following the 02 low was with the decline out of the 07 top. And they saved it again. And we had the stimulus, the QE. The QE stuff, every means possible. Obama did whatever it's called, the Obama, I forget what it's called, something Recovery Act or something like American Recovery Act or whatever it was called. All these stimulus packages to get the market going. Well, if the economy is so sound, why do you have to do all that? And so they saved it again, which I remind everybody that, you know, the decline out of the 07 top into the 09 low, people forget, they got real short memories, but that was dubbed the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. They damn near lost it then, but they were able to get it going again. And then we see this thing running on fumes into the 18-19 time frame, like I said, and then we got the COVID top, and then we saw the COVID stimulus. Well, now we're running on fumes again, and they're selling us the same nonsense about, oh, we got a great economy, we have all these jobs. No, we don't. I'm looking at the data. And so it's the same thing, and it's an attempt to hold this together. And again, I'm not being critical. If you and I or anybody else was sitting there trying to keep this, we'd probably do the same thing. But what I'm saying is that it's just not what we're being told. And so, yes, there is tremendous risk once we turn down out of this, out of the current cycle. And that's what the fight has been really since the 02 low.
And, of course, with this expansion of AI, AI is different in its technology switch in that the whole goal here is to unemploy people and employ robots.
Yeah, I know that's an aspect of it, but I think, I know AI is going to replace some jobs. I'm not going to argue that because I'd be an idiot to argue that. But I think the bigger picture there is about building out a surveillance grid. I mean, I keep hearing about these cameras, the flock cameras, and then they're moving to different kind of cameras, and your cars are going to have, in 2027, my understanding is there's a mandate where you have these cameras in the cars that monitor you. I mean, you're monitored. You can't walk out in your backyard and not be monitored. And I don't know, but the dots I connect in my mind tell me that this is not about a robot replacing somebody's, a mundane job at, say, filling an order at McDonald's. I think this is deeper. I think this is something to, part of a control grid and monitoring of every move that a person makes.
We'll have more with Tim Cyclesman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Always consult your investment professional before making any investment decision.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, where does gold fit into all this?
Well, we have a counter trend rally, obviously. We have a rally going on in gold. And in my world, we had an intermediate degree low back in June, and meaning that we have an intermediate degree cycle moving up, which I think is counter trend. But nonetheless, it's a retest of what I believe is a higher degree top, a 9-year cycle top, I think was seen back in January. And we're seeing a structural retest. There always is a retest of any high. And I think that's what we're seeing with this intermediate term advance. In the meantime, it is what it is. We have, we got a intermediate term buy signal and have had, and gold's going to go up until we get to that intermediate term top, and then you reassess. So, but at this point, I think it's counter trend.
Crude oil, any cycles there, or is the war with Iran just throwing a wrench into the works?
It's throwing a wrench into the works, but let me tell you what the normal cyclical behavior suggests. There is a very obvious 3-year cycle some of the commodity indexes in oil included, obviously, because it weighs heavy in those indexes. And later this year or early 27, there is a 3-year cycle low due in oil and the general commodity complex. We were cracking, the last 3-year cycle low was in 23, and we had what you would call, a left translated cycle. We were turning down out of that cycle. And then as we were starting to make that turn and confirm that turn in late 25, we saw this, break out with the war. And here we go. Oil goes up. So that, at this point, I think is counter trend. But and it should be, based on normal cyclical behavior, it should be, because there is no doubt about it. There is a 3-year cycle low due later this year, early 27. With the war news they could totally shut down oil production if they wanted to. In effect, that's what's happening with this closing of the strait, and just blow the cycle out of the water. I don't know. But normal cyclical behavior suggests that, we should be moving lower into the end of the year, early next. But that is totally dependent now on this news. I guess this is going to be a test as to which is stronger, the ability to manipulate or the power of the cycle.
Copper, where is that in all this cycle work?
I don't follow copper closely. I know that I can pull up a chart as we speak. It's not something I look at closely, but for the most part, copper moves in pretty close cyclical proximity with gold as well as silver. They both have, all three have a 9-year cycle, and I think without even looking at copper that I am looking at copper now. Wow, I was unaware. I just don't, it's just something I don't look at. Copper should be moving into a 9-year low, a 9-year cycle top as well. But wow, just like gold, there was the last 9-year cycle low was in 22. Exactly like gold. The difference here is that gold has potentially made that 9-year cycle top. Copper's still making new highs recently. Mm-hmm. So it has the 9-year cycle top there is, you cannot say it's in place. The other thing I would argue with copper is that it's more of an industrial metal, even though it has the same cycle. So I don't see where it's rolled over at this point, but it should be. If gold has made a 9-year cycle top, copper should be not too far behind. Mm-hmm.
Tim, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
The other thing that's interesting and it is key, I think, is interest rates. I know interest rates keep pushing up, and I understand that. I understand why. There's some cycle lows due in the bond market, and of course, bonds and interest rates are inversely related, right? And so looking at bond prices, there's a longer term low coming up, ideally a little bit later this year. and then that should give us a bottom in bonds. Bonds should turn up there, peaking interest rates. And then I am going to stick to my thinking that interest rates, once this thing cracks, and it will, you know, you can extend and distort a cycle only so long, and then Mother Nature's going to have its way. And I think that this is all going to set up together. So once we get that longer term low in the bond market in place, it's going to put pressure on rates, and we'll see rates come back down. And at that point, I think it's going to be people are going to start to sense that something is wrong, because it's going to happen, I believe, with a cracking of equity prices and other assets. So interest rates are key. Interest rates are key.
Do you think the Fed is going to cave to political pressure and keep rates down the next time they meet, or do they have no choice but to hike?
I think from my perspective on that, because I have a model that works pretty darn good, and I think that they're going to follow the 3-month T-bill, they should not hike here. They should not. If they do, I don't think we should see more than one hike, which would be an adjustment. If we were to see more than that, it would not be natural. It would be. My read would be that it's part of a reinflation effort. But no, the answer is I think rates are going. I can't rule out a hike, but I think overall rates are going lower.
Tim, thank you so much for being on Today in Money.
Jim, thanks as always for having me.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening. Comments made on Today in Money are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Today in Money is a production of How Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer, Tom Allen.